Texas Parks and Wildlife Podcast, providing an exclusive look into efforts to conserve the wild things and wild places in Texas.
Hello, I'm Lydia Saldana with the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation. Today we're going to be talking about El Paso, Franklin Mountains, and we'll just see where this conversation goes. We've got some experts here today. Let's start with the expat.
Yeah, perfect.
Jay Clayburgh here, Associate Director with Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation.
I'm Xochitl Rodriguez, and I'm a bit of an explorer out in El Paso, Texas.
Matt Morris, trail runner and yoga instructor.
Yeah.
So you two, Xochitl and Matt, you guys have lived in El Paso your whole life?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And have the Franklin Mountains always been part of your life?
Very much so.
For myself, yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. So the Franklin Mountains for me were always the backyard. We lived as a family sort of just south of the mountain, but my grandmother lived up the road. And there was an arroyo, Jay might remember or know, there was an arroyo that gave us access to, back then we called it the Crazy Cat area of the mountain. And they called it Crazy Cat because the mountain lions would come down certain times of year and drink from like the pool water in people's houses or whatever. I grew up wandering and exploring, and it was a tradition of the women in my family, but it was also just like me romping around with two brothers and a lot of boy cousins and just exploring all the time.
And Jay, you were in El Paso for how long?
I lived there for about 8 years.
Okay.
I was an interloper. I was not a native, but my parents had been there in the late 60s. My father was a general's aide at Fort Bliss, and I didn't know that really until I decided to move there, and then they sort of like told me about this.
All will be
this
revealed,
lost,
right?
Yeah, history, and I moved there for work. And I was working with a real estate group on both sides of the border, from Tijuana all the way down to Monterey. And my wife and I just fell in love with El Paso. And when I first moved there, I lived in the Kern area, right at the foothills of the Franklin Mountains, right there by Crazy Cat.
Where we grew up, yeah, grew up with my grandma.
You can take that arroyo that starts kind of in the Kern area and then get lost in wilderness, and the
within 10 minutes you're out.
You're out.
You're done. Yeah.
And it's just a beautiful place. It captures your soul.
Yeah.
And we still go back. I go back about every 4 months
just
to
be on
some
the mountain.
Excuse to
yeah.
be in
get
the Chihuahuan Desert.
Yeah. 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 How about you, Matt?
I've been exploring the mountains since I was a child. All the way up into my teens, heading up there by myself with my dog.
You've got to tell that rattlesnake story at some point.
Exploring all different slopes of the mountains. It was just always a very calming experience for me just to get up in there and explore by myself, especially. and then later on, I started trail running and really getting a little bit deeper into the mountains, into the trails, and to the tops of the ridges of the mountains. And
Matt is a fast trail runner. That's a detail he likes to leave out. He can go a lot deeper because he's very fast.
Yeah, you know, I used to just set these goals where I would just pick a point on the mountain. I would start on the bottom, look up at the ridge, and say, I'm going to try to run to that point today, and kind of really didn't plan on the way, you know, coming back down. It was just like, if I get to point A, yeah, I gotta force myself to come back down. So eventually I built that endurance and stamina to get there. And you know, after a while, it's trial and error. You learn how much water to carry with you. And depending on the seasons, how much, like for example, during the fall, during the winter, you don't really need that much water to get up there.
You know, it's almost a cliche. You have a healthy lifestyle, but for you, it was much more than that, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. At 25 years old, I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease, inflammatory bowel disease. I got hit with it pretty hard. I dropped about 40 pounds in weight. I ended up getting a lot of blood transfusions. This is a disease that infects the intestines, and so I wasn't able to keep any food in my system. So basically there was ulcerations all the way through my large intestine and small intestine, and that's why I lost so much weight. And I wasn't even able to, basically I had to use a restroom like once an hour. Mm-hmm. You know, just I couldn't go anywhere without planning on restrooms. And it built a lot of anxiety and stress, and I missed a lot of events just because of it, just because I developed all this anxiety about going somewhere and like stressing about like, oh my God, there's only one toilet in this whole entire facility and there's like 300 people here. So I'd just rather not put myself through that, especially where I, you know, it just got to the point where sometimes I just had to like pull over on the road. And you know, I mean, it was just these crazy emergencies.
Insane,
and
yeah.
Medication wasn't really helping out. And relatively around that time that I was diagnosed, the surgeons were recommending that I just remove those infected portions of my intestine. And it was just something that I just didn't want to.
You were in your 20s.
Yeah, I was in my 20s. I was still young. I didn't want to have to go through that. And I understood that it was just a possibility that that might happen. But I had run into another doctor, just this random doctor just came in my room one day, and he was just like, you know, he was telling me that his niece had been diagnosed with the same thing, that they cut her open, and once they had removed that portion of the infected intestine, that over the course of her life that they had to keep like, they just kept taking and taking, and that surgery wasn't a cure, it was just a temporary Band-Aid. Mm-hmm. So I took that advice and I refused to get the surgery, and I was diagnosed with severe to moderate, so the situation was pretty bad. I got on all the medication that the doctors were telling me to get on, and it was helping me a little bit. Those times where I would just go through times where I would gain a little weight, I'd get a little bit better, but the amount of times I was using the restroom wasn't really helping.
Yeah.
The weight loss was you know, just kind of up and down, and I just was overall feeling pretty terrible. A friend of mine got me into the mountains, exactly where I felt happy, and we started doing some running, and all of a sudden I started noticing the more I pushed myself, the next day I was feeling a little bit better, or the next few days I was feeling a little bit better, and so I kind of started putting two and two together, and just started really pushing my body, and I went from just some basic trail running, and then I started doing a lot of road racing, and I started running 5Ks, I went into half marathons, full marathons. Okay. The more I was pushing my body, the better I was feeling. And then I even pushed myself, I started doing triathlon, did a few half Ironmans, went into a full Ironman event. And by this time that I had hit the full Ironman event, I had gained about like 25 pounds back.
Life was just looking better. And what was the time frame of
this? That was probably about, I was diagnosed when I was 25. I was doing the triathlons about maybe 5 years later.
Wow.
But it took a while. It took a while to, I mean, when I was first diagnosed, it was more about exploring different diets. I mean, I was trying so many different diets. I was grinding my own flour to make my own bread. I mean, I was trying everything just supernatural.
Just to
feel
better.
Just to feel better.
Yeah.
The diet didn't seem to really help. The pushing my body was really helping a lot. And I feel like, because it's an autoimmune disease, and I felt like maybe I'm at this point where I'm suppressing the immune system to a point where my body is saying like, okay, we're actually getting some time to calm down a little bit and heal. So I just, even though I was feeling way better, not 100% better, but I still felt like there was more I could do. So I was trying to really couple pushing my body with better nutrition. And then I jumped into yoga. And the yoga was what really catapulted me into moving more towards almost feeling 100%.
Yeah.
And that was more about calming the mind, breathing techniques. And so I was able to push beyond anxiety and stress. And so I was learning to recognize a lot of those things. And now I knew what to do when I was feeling a lot of those anxious moments.
Today,
I'm off all my medications. I recently had a colonoscopy and there was no sign of the disease.
That's wonderful.
So I feel like all that whole entire journey is just a testament to a healthy lifestyle, and that you there, it's a possibility to heal yourself through, you know, not having to go through surgery and not being on tons of medication and just taking a natural approach to life.
Jay, I haven't asked you this. Where did you meet these two?
We have a mutual friend that I called, and I said, look, I need to find some people who are not just interested in the outdoors, but are connected to the outdoors. And she said, I know the perfect people. And so...
So you'd never met before? Okay.
No, and so she put me in contact with Sochi and with Matt, and then we met for the first time at the Wild Film Tour El Paso, maybe a month later.
Okay.
And we like hit it off immediately.
Yeah.
It was all perfect.
Yeah.
And I'm just like so happy. This is such a interesting and passionate group of people. That you want to just like go around the state together, you know.
Well, as a matter of fact, those things are being plotted as we speak, right?
Yeah, I mean, everybody just had such an interesting story and brings a different take and connection to the outdoors.
And it's just a reminder, there's so many gateways and doorways and pathways of how you experience the outdoors. Everybody gets something different out of it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
And when we were talking, Sochi, you were talking about how cool it was to shine the light on El Paso and Franklin Mountains.
Oh, absolutely. We're so far out there. We're like on the edge of Texas.
In another time zone, for God's
sake. Time zone. You know, we're closer to Mexico and New Mexico than we are to any other major city in Texas. And demographically, we're kind of really unique as well. So I feel like a lot of people, what they get to learn about us is not through our lens and with our voices. They learn it somewhere else. And I think this was just, the whole campaign is just such a beautiful opportunity, I think, for Matt and I.
I don't think we've mentioned it yet in this podcast. We're talking about the We Will Not Be Tamed campaign.
Yeah, everybody check it out.
Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation.
It's a chance for Matt and I, of course, to be ambassadors for the wild and highlight how much that has impacted our life and our happiness and our future. But beyond that, to just really shine a light on how incredible El Paso is as a community, as a geographic location, as a place on a border, on a pretty significant border. I think it's such an honor to get to do that. It feels overwhelming too, because I want to like capture it so much, but the only way to get someone to see it is to take them there and show them.
Well,
the mountain
Franklin Mountains, I believe this is the case. Mm-hmm. I may be overstating this a bit, but I believe it's the biggest state park within the city limits.
It's the largest urban park, in the country, I think.
In the continental United States, 24,000 acres.
I'm not overstating it.
No,
that.
You're not.
And now that Castner Range, mm-hmm. which is
finally
kind of in
designated.
Northeast El Paso, it's been protected. At least the Department of Defense has said they're not going to do any further shelling or development in that area. And then you've got an effort to protect all of the foothills of the Franklin Mountains. Mm-hmm. And the city just bought some acreage.
Yeah, there was
the largest land acquisition by the city in its history.
Yeah.
To try and shore up some of the foothills of the Franklin Mountains.
I mean, it is not an exaggeration to say that the state park is in our backyard. There are some trailheads where we can walk up Piedmont and hop into the state park. You know, up Piedmont is one of the streets in El Paso. And on the northeast side of town, it holds the same. The west side's a little bit of a trek, but it's because you can camp out there.
And from a geological standpoint, if I'm not mistaken, I think we have the oldest mountain range in the United States.
Right.
And they're millions of years old, and from what I understand, that the rocks are actually billions of years old.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty common where you find rocks that are older than
ranges. Wild things happen in our desert, right? And it's like, it's wild to see it because there's this spiny creature with thorns all over it, and it's this crazy cactus you never could have dreamed of in your life. And then you're walking along and you pick up a rock and there's a seashell in it in the middle of the desert.
Yeah, top of the ridge you'll find seashells embedded into the rocks.
We found so many embedded. You're hiking, right, and you're pretty sure you're going to fall on your face, maybe. And as you lean down to brace yourself, you look, and sure enough, there's a seashell.
And it is a state park. Anybody can access it.
Yeah, anybody can access it.
And we were talking about different pathways a few minutes ago. And I know, Matt, we were talking about the first yoga workshop. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that. And this is going to be out there in March. So talk about what's coming up in April, too.
So this is going to be our third annual yoga event with that we partnered with the city. The first event, we had roughly about 70 people show up to the yoga event. We had yoga out in the parking lot, and then we all hiked as a group together up into the Aztec caves, and did a little bit more yoga and meditation up on the top of that. And those the trail up to the Aztec caves was beginner friendly. It was only maybe about 2.5 miles round trip. It was a great experience. The next year we had it again, and we changed it up a little bit. We actually decided to hike up into the mountain, do yoga meditation up in there, and we got into the cave. I brought a Native American drum, a flute, and so we got down with a little bit of music in there and meditation and yoga, and it was a lot of fun. So this year, April 9th, we're all meeting again, same park, just a different trail, and we're anticipating the same amount of people, if not more. But we're really it's great because not only are we using it as a tool to open the doors to yoga, but also to the Texas Parks and Wildlife, getting people in there. And people that have lived in El Paso their whole entire life and have never ever stepped foot onto a trail before. And
you know, we were talking about like being ambassadors for El Paso to the rest of Texas and even, you know, of course, sharing the stories with the country. And it's incredible how many conversations Matt and I have about how necessary it also is to get people in El Paso outside. I think because it is physical. I mean, it's hard to access, right? Maybe an easier route. You've got to stick to the lower lying lands to do that. So it can be intimidating, but more than anything, I think maybe it is. They don't know. Hey, it's the largest. It is actually the largest urban park in the country. These rocks are actually billions of years old, you know? So the advocacy extends, of course, really far across Texas, but it also, Matt and I have talked so much about how we can focus it in on our community, and especially people who are facing a lot of health complications and just generally.
Yeah, you know, and that's so amazing for me to look back. I'm almost 43, and I was diagnosed when I was 25, and I can just look back and on this whole entire journey and watch it unfold, and all of it has led to where I am right now. And it's totally changing my mindset, and it's having that disease was almost a curse and a blessing because it changed the direction of my life, and it's put me together with all these amazing people, and now I have these great opportunities to, like you said, shine that light, be a beacon, and just let people know, like, hey, this is what we have going on here, and you can use these things to better your health, better your mindset, get up there, just, you know, do whatever you want. Just get moving and get exploring. And there's easy trails, there's hard trails, but, you know, just get out there and get started.
Breathe.
Yeah, just once, just get, you know, get your shoes on, drive out there and check it out.
So, of course, we talked about the campaign a little earlier.
And yeah,
one
yeah.
of the reasons we're sitting here talking is because y'all
Sorry,
are involved
I didn't realize
with the We Will Not Be Tamed campaign. And you know what, Jay, I'll start with you, you know, from Parks and Wildlife Foundation, you know, what's it's all about and why are we doing this?
Not just from the foundation's perspective, but from my personal perspective, the campaign is about inspiring people to get involved and to support not just conservation efforts, but recreation in their communities, recreational opportunities in their communities, and that there are serious efforts, ongoing efforts around the state to conserve our wild places and our wild things, and that especially in Texas, it takes all of us, and it takes people in their own communities, and it takes organizations like Parks and Wildlife Foundation and some of our partners to actually do that work in protecting the Franklin Mountains and other places that we all love. And so over the next 9 months, we have a campaign that involves a number of ambassadors from different parts of the state that will, along with partners like Texas Monthly and Yeti and Howler Brothers, brands that not just promote but also support the outdoors in Texas. We're trying to raise awareness for the wild part of Texas that is the reason why all of us love Texas, and a lot of times we forget that that it actually takes a concerted effort to keep it that way.
Yeah. So you got this call about this campaign.
Yeah.
So why did you get involved, Sochi?
I mean, I have a four-year-old daughter, Calista, who's featured in the campaign with me. Before I knew she would also be featured, it was more about making sure that she's got a planet, right, to love and enjoy and romp around in. And beyond that, that she understands that she has to help take care of it. There's no one else going to do it for her. And it's a lot. She's only four, right? It's a ton to entrust into like one four-year-old little creature. But that's the beauty of actually living a wild life and living out in the outdoors and spending that time in the dirt, literally in the dirt. She and I always say, we come from the dirt to go back to the dirt. And it's my way of showing her everything comes from the same place, and we've got to protect it and connect to it and kind of honor it every day. And so we just say, dirt time. We go and we romp and we do the dirt thing. And I wanted to make sure, you know, especially over the last handful of years, I've wanted to really commit myself in a pretty proactive way to taking steps to try to make sure she's got a place to live.
Yeah.
Man. You know, the We Will Not Be Tamed, it just...
it's so perfect, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. It really is. It's just that... I think it exists within all of us, that resistance, that fight, and mm-hmm. and that's what I see is, we will not be tamed by anything that life puts in front of us. You know, whatever obstacles that come before us, those are all things that we need to get through because they're all part of the learning experience, and I just. Just at a point right now where I feel like this campaign resonates with me so deeply, just mm-hmm. because I want to open other people's eyes to what life has to offer as far as getting out there and exploring these mountains and exploring nature and finding peace and harmony. And it could be anything. If you want to just go out there and meditate and just hang out, you can. If you want to go out there and challenge yourself and run or hike to the peak of the mountain, you can. Mm-hmm. It's just got all these amazing opportunities. And bring your friends, bring your family, start your kids now, like when they're young, and it's just going to carry on with them, and they're going to create all these amazing memories with them for the rest of their lives.
It's such a process of creation, for sure. Yeah.
Well, it's so inspiring to meet you too.
Oh, thank you.
It really is, and we appreciate your time. I know we're going to be spending some more time with you guys over the next couple of months.
Yeah, we're excited to have
and
you.
And something
all come
tells
up.
Me there'll be these connections way beyond that.
Oh yeah.
So thank you very much, y'all.
Thank you, Lydia.
Thank you.
And thanks, Jay.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Texas Parks and Wildlife Podcast is brought to you by Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, supporting high impact conservation projects across the state. Find out how you can help at tpwf.org.